Hello, Internet friend. Today on Value Side, this isn't your grandfather's nuclear confrontation. I'm David Revell. Well, the Second World War came to an abrupt and decisive end when the United States detonated the twin nuclear bombs over the cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Thus ended the world's most costly conflict, while at the same time beginning the nuclear era. For the next 79 years, the world has existed in an uneasy truce, a time when the two principal nuclear superpowers, the United States and initially the Soviet Union, now the Russian Federation, faced each other with the weapons of global annihilation. In the past 2 years, the face-off has become even more belligerent as the war in Ukraine has brought these two superpowers to the brink of direct and likely nuclear confrontation. While each country possesses tremendous inventories of these deadly weapons, and therefore represents roughly equivalent adversaries, the way that they've reached this position of military dominance is very different, leading each country's leaders to take a very different strategy and defense. Strategies and defenses that are liable to make profound differences in the survival of their respective countries and populations. For the first 2 centuries of its existence, Fortress America, as it's become known, enjoyed the defenses of 2 oceans, the Atlantic and Pacific. It was not feasible for a major power to attack the United States across these great seas. The lone exception might be the attack on September 11, 2001, on the Twin Towers in New York City. But by God's grace, this nation has never had a direct attack by a major military power upon its shores. Now, American leaders have relied on this physical isolation as a key element in our national defense. Combined with America's prowess in technology, and a complete picture emerges of the U.S. strategies for World War III. But the Russian experience in war is the polar opposite from America. While America losses during World War II were substantial, 418,500 soldiers were killed, few, if any, civilian casualties were reported, as all of the fighting took place far from U.S. shores. But Russia, on the other hand, suffered devastating death and destruction. Major battles took place on Russian soil, with an estimated 8.6 million soldiers killed, but another 7 million civilians also died. The trauma to the Russian psyche was profound and lasting. And these differences in the two strategic foes can be readily seen in the two countries' national defense strategies today. On October 12, 2022, President Biden sent to Congress his most recent national security strategy. While much of the documents were classified and therefore not available to the public, a basic fact sheet was distributed via the Internet. Combined with the previous released national defense and national military strategies, it presents a good overview of our country's policies on defense. And if these policy statements could be summed up in one word, it would be deterrence. America's promise to oppose all future conflicts by deterring any potential opponent. This deterrence will consist of investing in the sources of our national strength, mobilizing the broadest coalition of nation, and shaping the rules of the road for the 21st century. Generally, America will pursue these goals and objectives by adhering to the latest START Treaty. And in the most recent report for the START Treaty, and it's required biannually, the United States reported slightly more than 2,800 weapons in its inventory, while Russia reported that they had a similar number of weapons in their stockpile. For America, the workhorse of their deterrence has been the Minuteman series of intercontinental ballistic missiles, developed in the 1950s and first placed into use in 1962, the Minutemen have substantially upgraded in fuel and longevity. The newer versions of solid-fuel-powered Minutemen can stand ready to fire for much longer periods of time than the old liquid-fuel rockets. However, when reading between the lines, it becomes apparent that these types of weapons are not America's primary future deterrence. By inclination and technology, America has put most of its development toward missile defense. The Patriot anti-air system being the top-of-the-line U.S. deterrent. A careful review of America's recent military operations shows a preference for these anti-missile systems over direct confrontation. Now, Russia, on the other hand, also presents some very capable anti-missile systems with their top-of-the-line series, the S-400, standing as a defender of most of its vulnerable assets. But unlike the United States, Russia has placed most of its development in offensive military technology. Russia has achieved a breakthrough in its development and production of hypersonic missiles, missiles that can travel faster than Mach 5, that's five times the speed of sound. It has been reported that the Russian premier hypersonic missile, the KH-47M2, the Kinzhal, can reach a speed of Mach 10, by far the fastest missile in the world, and an extremely difficult target for any anti-missile system to intercept. All of this was put on display just a couple of weeks ago, when on April 13th, Iran launched a massive aerial attack aimed at Israel. It is estimated that nearly 300 drones and various missiles were fired. Of these, many were decoys, slow-moving drones which took hours to reach Israeli territory. But in response, Israel activated its Iron Dome air defense, while the U.S., Britain, France, and Jordan also activated their anti-air systems in the region. Reports are that at the height of the battle, the U.S. had 152 aircraft in the air. Now, the American press reports that nearly all of the Iranian targets were shot down with this phalanx of defenders. And no doubt that's true, as many of those slower drones were likely just decoys. However, days after the battle was completed, there are recurring estimates that between 8 to 14 of these more sophisticated high-speed Iranian missiles did indeed penetrate the shield, perhaps an indication of the lethality of these new generation missile systems. In the end, what we're looking at in Iran's assault on Israel was the first real-world test of the two different approaches to strategic defense in this modern nuclear age. Although the language may sound the same, nuclear confrontation, strategic deterrence, today's technology is radically different from the past. Attacks which took hours and minutes to unfold in the past now occur in mere seconds. Entire battles will likely be completed within an hour. Cities, towns, and nations can be obliterated in the blink of an eye. The illusion of Fortress America is just that, an illusion. Today, no nation is safe from the ravishing effects of war. Civilian populations, no less than military, are at risk. Russia's history of nearly the same number of civilians as military casualties will be the case in any future nuclear war. In 1959, candidate for President John F. Kennedy warned of a missile gap between the old Soviet Union and the United States. Back then, technology being roughly equal between the two global powers, Kennedy was asserting that the USSR had more missiles than the US. Today, there is the very real possibility that the two technologies are not equal, that this new hypersonic missile technology, exhibited by both Iran and by Russia, fighting in Ukraine, is a real game changer. This is no time for an American president to constantly push for heightened hostilities between our two countries. It is, however, an ideal time to negotiate, to seek common ground between the two nuclear superpowers. And that's ValueSide. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit ValueSide.com. I'm David Revelle. ValueSide is independently written and researched. The views expressed are strictly my own.